This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Some cities have closed streets to through traffic in order to give pedestrians, runners, and cyclists more space as we endeavor to social distance amid the global pandemic. Policies like that are changing the way we interact with our communities. And some see it as a good opportunity to reflect on how we use our spaces on the other side of this thing. Conversely, the virus's impact on our neighborhood economies could be large, leaving a wide swath of vacant storefronts in its wake. So what is the best way to respond when we have the chance to do so again? Joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about these community-based issues are Yard & Company co-founders and principals Joe Nickel. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Michael.
And Kevin Wright. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. So glad both of you could join us today. Thank you for being here. Joe, what's the, as community planners and guys who work with cities around our region and around the country on planning projects and improving public experiences, what are you noticing? What are you paying attention to as we adapt to this strange way we're all living right now?
Yeah, absolutely. It goes without saying that we're all experiencing our neighborhoods, our houses, the rooms in our houses, all very differently than we did a couple months ago. And when we look around, what we're seeing is people going outside more, to put it simply, whether it's because they simply have cabin fever, they actively want to boost their immunity system, which being outside and being active does. They want to check in on neighbors, albeit safely at a distance, or get to work or essential services. We're seeing a lot more people use the sidewalks, use streets, get to parks, that kind of thing. Tri-State Trails, which kind of tracks usage of trails and parks in the region, has noticed in some cases a 50 to 60% surge in the amount of usage of our public spaces. Pretty incredible.
So, Kevin, what does that tell us about those public spaces that maybe people took for granted before, maybe didn't use as much? What does it say about their importance in our communities?
Well, it certainly highlights their importance, and I hope when this starts to slowly move into the rearview mirror, that people continue to stay active and utilize these spaces, and maybe realize during this time that these spaces exist and are available to them, and can add to their life and their quality of life in meaningful ways. I think what we're also seeing, which is really a complex and interesting problem, is that our sidewalks are not quite wide enough for us to, and other trails as well, for us to walk around, get out of the house, as Joe mentioned, be healthy, but yet also obey the rules of the sort of mandated 6-foot rule that we're all trying to obey.
And that's what I mentioned leading into this segment, was that some cities have closed some streets to cars so as to give people more space while they're walking around where they can go out and enjoy the outdoors, but also maintain that suggested 6 feet of distance between them. Is that something that you see as a positive?
Yeah, we do. We're seeing it in varying degrees, in different types of cities, really small cities and big. Some are taking away what is currently unnecessary on-street parking because many retailers are closed and simply expanding their sidewalks. Others are creating strategically shared streets where cars are still driving, but people can walk in the streets and there's proper kind of tools in place to slow the cars down and ensure that everybody knows that it's a shared street. And then in other cases where streets are now unnecessary because there are less cars on the road, we're seeing complete closure to cars and streets dedicated to just people and bikes. And I think it's a great creative solution for the problem we face, which is we all need to get outside to keep our sanity because of the cabin fever. But yet we're confronted with a choice when jogging or walking down the street to either not obey the 6-foot rule or to step out into the street where there are cars. So figuring out a way to give some space back to pedestrians smartly and strategically is a really kind of fun and creative way to continue to help people get outside.
And we're talking with Joe Nickel and Kevin Wright, the co-founders and principals of Yard and Company. Joe, I want to ask you a bit about the parks that people are using. I took a long walk a couple weeks ago along the Riverfront Commons, the trail that's still under construction in northern Kentucky, but was still a very enjoyable walk for the parts that are connected. And You know, the parks are there along the riverfront already, now connected by this trail, but the play areas are wrapped in caution tape because kids aren't allowed to be on them. The basketball courts are locked down as well so as to keep people from gathering there and playing contact sports. What does that do with the way we interact with our parks? Sure, the space is still there, but the things that maybe we took our families to enjoy there aren't available to us.
Yeah, we're certainly seeing some new phenomenon for how people use spaces. Actually, my wife made the comment to me that I didn't pick up on right away. Is the first time in a long time we're seeing whole families with teenage age kids walking together. I mean, when's the last time we saw that? And they weren't even looking at their phones. And other people are using their porches for the first time in a long time. In terms of public spaces, particularly if you have kids, you have to be creative with how you're using space. They may be used to going to the play structures and that kind of thing, but what it's causing is that we're re-enjoying or relearning the skills of just taking a walk and looking at the world around us. And a lot of the places we're working, we're actually getting much more in-depth knowledge from everyday citizens about how their neighborhood or their city works just because they're forced to observe it in a new way. And for us as planners and developers, you know, that's really exciting to have people applying that level of scrutiny to their spaces. I think the other thing they're seeing is we need more public spaces closer to where we live. Cincinnati has been very good, one of the national leaders, in fact, in building a regional parks system. But what we're seeing is that in a case like today, people want that space within walking distance of their house. And as the radius of their lives shrinks, the demand for these types of smaller neighborhood scale spaces that can be walked to are increasing.
Well, let's talk a little more about the sidewalks and the streets issues for those of us who live in the urban part of the region where it's densely populated, and maybe we don't have immediate access to a large green space. If we're out for a walk on these small sidewalks, we do have to make the decision of whether we cross the street, whether we walk into the street, but the streets are still open. One thing that you noted in some notes when we talked before this segment, Kevin, was that there are fewer cars on the road now, but that's creating another problem related to speeding.
Yeah, that's right. So aside from giving back more space to pedestrians or even closing streets to cars, this is also an interesting time to finally get down on the to-do list to start thinking about ways to slow traffic in places where it was already going fast and is now even faster. And, you know, in our world, we're in projects and cities and on projects we work with, that can be done pretty cheaply and nimbly with just some, you know, pedestrian signs being put out in the middle of the road. We've seen those in some neighborhoods and cities around the urban core. Bollards going into the ground pretty quickly and cheaply to ensure people slow down, and then just signage. But I agree with you. From my observation in my neighborhood, I'm seeing the cars that are on the road, an increase in looking at your screen while driving, and then also an increase in speed. And in a time when people are having to jog out into the road to spatially distance away from other pedestrians, that's really a dangerous proposition.
I want to hit on that term you just used just so that our listeners can understand it. You draw a difference between spatial and social distancing.
We don't love the term social distancing. I think that we've been social distancing for some time now. And I think one of the silver linings of this pandemic is that we are spending more time, as Joe said, with our family. We're seeing the value in communicating face-to-face with people because we can't do it as much anymore. And one of my hopes is that after this is over, we commit to looking at our screens less, we commit to going out into nature more, and we commit to having more social interactions with our friends and family that are meaningful. So we try to avoid using that term and think of it in terms of physical distance or spatial distance.
I know in your city, Bellevue, there's been some sort of porch gatherings where people are out on their porches waving across the street to one another. I saw in City Beat, the musician who came and parked in the middle of the road and played a show for the neighbors while they were keeping the appropriate amount of distance. So those are some creative ways, I suppose, Joe, that neighbors can still enjoy one another's company without being all up on each other.
That's right. And that underscores the distinction we draw between social and spatial distancing. Things like a music played out of the back of a truck or a wave can certainly engender togetherness and social connections, even at a distance of 6 feet or greater. And so a lot of our work right now is focused on how do we create social capital 6 feet at a time. And we want to communicate as clearly as possible that is really important in a time of isolation. To maintain physical distancing, yes, but try to create social connections amidst that.
Okay, let's get a quick phone call while we have some time here. We'll go now to Greg. Hi, Greg. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I just want to urge all your listeners and remind them that just because they are outside, we still have to maintain that physical distance for the sake of not spreading the virus. I have had few people as individuals or as groups respect that distance, whether I've been walking on paved trails or natural trails. So I end up swinging way wide, sometimes having to climb into bushes. And they just keep coming straight at me and do not waver.
Well,
they won't get off the pavement, and or they won't step off the trail to just give some space.
Well, Greg, we do appreciate that call and that perspective, and we hope you spend less time in the bushes and hope that people will give you your space while you're out there enjoying the outdoors. I think you do deserve that space. Before I let you guys go, Kevin and Joe, let me ask one last thing. You guys do work in community planning, community development. I imagine a lot of communities may suffer on the other side of this and not have the same momentum that we had seen in the urban core ahead of this. What's the immediate action that local governments and local community development corporations should consider?
Well, it's a tough time right now for everyone, including community development corporations, community-based organizations. We're in the midst of saving people's lives. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of government cuts. We're seeing that here in Cincinnati to ensure that the funding is there to respond to this crisis. However, you know, coming out of this, which we will, we'll come out of it, and we'll have community commercial corridors, business districts in places like College Hill, Walnut Hills, Madisonville that have seen investment and growth locally over the last decade come out of this with probably quite a bit of vacancy on the retail side, a fear or worry about holding community events and social gatherings. A lot of these groups have built out mixed-use projects, built new pocket parks, built new public plazas, hold regular events. And so they will need to think through how best to bring those things back to life. On the policy side, I think cities will need to think about what red tape can be removed to allow those creative agencies to be quick and nimble in solving those problems. And then I think, and we wrote something on our website about this, I think that when the recovery starts, that those groups are going to be the key and essential partners to the government agencies, and their funding is going to need to be turned back on and maybe even doubled in some cases to ensure that these neighborhoods can bounce back.
And you can read more from Joe Nickel and Kevin Wright at buildwithyard.com. They are the co-founders and principals of Yard and Company. Joe, Kevin, thank you for the fascinating conversation. We'll look forward to connecting with you all again soon.
Thank you.
Up next, how the pandemic is impacting local churches. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.